Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. And today is going to be a very unique service. You're not going to be hearing from me for most of the morning. Yeah. But you'll be hearing from Dr. Mark Farnham. And many of you know him. But for those of you who don't, he is my father-in-law. He was my ordination moderator yesterday. And he's a professor at Lancaster Bible College, a professor of apologetics. And so it's good to have him here this morning to bring the word.
It is a delight to be with you all again. I was here back in September and recognized many faces. As Matt said, this is going to be an unusual morning because it is centered around his ordination. Ordination is the term that we use to describe what the Bible talks about, as Dave just read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, of the laying on of hands. And that is to approve someone who is qualified for pastoral ministry, not only in his personal life, which is a major part of it, but also can demonstrate and defend sound doctrine when questioned. So yesterday, on Saturday, April 30th, 2022, seven men convened at First Baptist Church in Clearfield, that's here, to examine Matthew Brown for ordination to the gospel ministry. Those men included me, Pastor Bob Aki, who was the retired pastor here, Pastor Dan Osterhout from First Baptist Church in Kerwinsville, Pastor Rich Engel from Zion Baptist Church in Ansonville, Pastor Matt Mitchell from Lance Evangelical Free Church, and Drs. Doug Finkbeiner and Sam Harbin from Lancaster Bible College and Capital Seminary. After nearly 2.5 hours of questioning, which some of you were able to witness, during which the candidate responded to more than 100 questions, council members adjourned to an adjoining room to deliberate. And you need to know that in ordination councils, when men are examined for that, it is not uncommon to identify several areas in which they're deficient in their knowledge and for the council to recommend further study in those areas. But it was apparent to everyone on the ordination council that there were no recommendations to give to Matt. He showed himself thoroughly knowledgeable in all the areas in question. And so the following recommendation was made by Pastor Dan Osterhout. The motion to recommend Matthew Brown for a certificate of ordination. His paper is complete and represents the quality of an ordination paper, and he has given an oral defense of biblical issues at a level required for a certificate of ordination. This was seconded by Bob Aki and unanimously approved by the council for the First Baptist Church to proceed with conferral of ordination for gospel ministry on Pastor Matt Brown. Additionally, the council gave several commendations, and these commendations include these two. Pastor Brown is to be recommended for conducting himself with admirable humility throughout the examination. His doctrinal statement was thorough, and his answers were thoughtful and biblical. And the council particularly appreciated Pastor Brown's description of how he balances the demands of ministry with his priority commitment to his wife and children. And the council therefore recommends that the First Baptist Church of Clearfield ordains Matthew Brown to the gospel of ministry. And so it will be in just a few moments your church that ordains Matt. Our council is just to give a recommendation. We brought in high-powered executives and experts to challenge him, and he passed. So there's nothing preventing that now from going forward. In just a moment, we will carry that out. So Matt, I would like you to come up and join me on the platform for just a moment. I'd like to present to you two things. First of all, I'd like to present the certificate of ordination, which was handcrafted by me personally from a downloaded PDF. And signed by all the members of your ordination council, save for Pastor Engel, who is not able to be here in person, but came in over Zoom. And we have another certificate with a blank that he can fill out when he comes. But Matt, for now, I'd like to present that to you. I'd also like to present to you a preaching Bible. It is a special Bible, and you know that it's special because it came wrapped in black velvet. So I'm going to unveil the Bible here, It is a goatskin preaching Bible designed for pastors. It has a lifetime warranty. It smells like really high-end leather, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. And I'd like to read the inscription. Matt, your life and ministry are evident to all who know you. Continue to live and preach in a manner worthy of the gospel, as Philippians 1:27 says. Remember that your validation as a man and a pastor is not found in the approval of others, or even in your own self-evaluation, but in the Lord, who has enabled you and counted you faithful, putting you into the ministry. So, shepherd the flock of God. Pay careful attention to yourself and all the flock. Preach the word. Equip the saints. Hold firm to the trustworthy word. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Watch out for those who cause divisions. And what you have heard in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Matt, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I'm so thankful that you are my son-in-law.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now I'd like to give what is known as the charge to the candidate. In other words, I'd like to speak to Matt directly. For just a few minutes, we're going to have two sermons this morning, so two for the price of one. Hopefully you didn't put in a discount offering when the plate came by. Matt, I would like to challenge you, and then we will have a time of prayer where the elders will come up. We will pray over you and Kate, and then I will give a charge to the church. In other words, what does the Bible say to us as church members and how we ought to treat, how we ought to encourage our pastors? So Dave read 1 Timothy 4. I won't read the whole thing again, but Matt, I'd like to charge you with three commands, three exhortations from this passage. First of all, we are told in verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, that is the warnings against error and the truth of God, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. So here's my first challenge to you, Matt. You need to fulfill your calling as a servant by teaching the truth before your people. That is, you are a servant of Christ. Some have taken the role of pastor today and made it either one of dominating rule or one of seeking influence and benefit. And God calls us to neither of those, but rather to serve our churches. And the way you serve is to lay the truth before the people. There's an interesting word in this passage here. He says, if you put these things before the brothers. The word here literally means to lay it out for them. So in other words, you're to take the training that you've received. And as I'll mention later, almost no one who has not gone through seminary understands the extent of the training that you've received. Now, the average seminary student trains just as much as a person in medical school or law school. And having been one of Matt's former professors, I can tell you the extent of what he had to learn in Greek, in Hebrew, church history, systematic theology, biblical theology, Old and New Testament studies, pastoral counseling, pastoral care, preaching, and we could go on and on. It's extensive. And so your knowledge is great, and yet as we all know, we should grow in our knowledge. But your job is to take the scriptures, the divinely inspired supernatural scriptures, and throughout your life study them in such a way that you lay them out for people in a way that they can understand and that their lives will be transformed. Charles Spurgeon said the motto of all true servants of God must be, we preach Christ and him crucified. And then Spurgeon says this, a sermon without Christ is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it. Obviously, Spurgeon preached long before gluten-free was popular, but just go with me, okay? A sermon without Christ in it is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it. No Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching. And that's the great commission that God has given you, is to lay out before all people what God has revealed in the Word. And we're told in this passage, this makes you a good servant. In other words, the core of your job, the bread and butter nature of a pastoral ministry, is to proclaim the truth. And that is difficult because, number one, the truth is deep. The truth is a deep well, and God has given you the ability and the calling to draw out that truth and to proclaim it others, but also it takes courage. Not only does this phrase have the idea of layout for people so that they can understand, but half the times it is translated in the New Testament, it has the idea of putting your neck on the line. It has the idea of risking. In other words, faithful preaching is not something that everyone can do. In fact, faithful preaching is something that only a rare few can do, because it not only takes ability, it takes courage. It takes conviction. To say things sometimes that people will get offended about. To say things sometimes that people don't want to hear. To speak the truth of God that reminds us that every one of us is a sinner, guilty before a holy God, and we have no hope of salvation in and of ourselves, but God in his great love has sent his son Jesus to die. So that by believing him, not by anything we can do, as long as we're trusting in anything that we have done, any moral goodness in ourselves, we are hopelessly lost. But Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God, died on the cross, took our punishment upon himself. So salvation is only found in Christ. Matt, that is not a popular message today. And yet God has called you to proclaim it as a faithful servant. Secondly, in this passage, he's already on to the second point. This bodes well for a short challenge. We're told in verses 7 and 9 that you should focus on godliness and neglect distractions. Verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. In other words, Matt, the challenge for you today in a day of social media and a day of disinformation and a day of political wrangling is to not get caught up in the things of the world that interest us, that keep our focus on the here and now, but to focus on godliness, to focus on that which is eternally valuable. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So Matt, secondly, you are called to train yourself. You are called to continually be in study, continually examine the word, continually be a student of the culture in which we live to understand what's going on in the world around us, and then seeing the Bible not through the lens of the world, but the world through the lens of Scripture. In other words, every one of us is constantly tempted and deceived to see things in a worldly way. And God calls you, Matt, to provide clarity week after week, to bring the Windex and wash the windows so that people can see clearly the way God sees what's going on in this world. This is a life of training. And Paul is telling Timothy this because this is difficult. Matt, ministry is difficult, in case you haven't discovered that in the last 5 years. It was 20 years ago this summer that I resigned my church in New London, Connecticut, and took up a teaching position in Philadelphia, where I met Matt. He became one of my students. And that day, August 18th, 2002, I preached my last sermon in my church and began to drive from that area down to Philadelphia. And somewhere over the Tappan Zee Bridge, I'll never forget this, it was palpable, a burden came off my shoulders, a heavy burden, as I realized I am no longer the pastor of the people of that church, Montauk Avenue Baptist Church in New London, Connecticut. It is no longer my responsibility to oversee their souls. And I didn't realize what a heavy burden I was bearing. And Matt, God calls you to bear that burden. That is part of your call as a servant. It is a glorious burden. It is a burden with great reward, but it is a burden nonetheless. And one of the challenges of that burden is that you can very easily begin to judge yourself, judge your performance, judge your self-worth by how the church is responding. Is it growing? Are people thanking you for your sermons? Or is there grumbling? Is there dissension? And let me encourage you, you must fight to not allow your self-perception to be determined by external things, but rather to recognize godliness roots your self esteem, your self-awareness in what Christ has done for you, not in anything else. Spurgeon again says, you may fear that the Lord has passed you by at times, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of ever forgetting his children. He knows your case as thoroughly as if you were the only creature he ever made or the only saint he ever loved. Approach him and be at peace. It's one of the hardest things about being a pastor. It's not judging yourself, not evaluating yourself on how things are going, but rather to recognize, I am who I am because I am rooted in my union with Christ through my salvation. I am who I am as a pastor because I've been called by God. And as long as I'm faithful to that, I can trust in God's evaluation of me. And then thirdly, Matt, we're told in this passage that you need to pastor with the authority of God by the strength of your life. We're told in verse 11, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. Well, you're past 30 now, so you should be okay then. But some people will still look at you and say, oh, you're such a young pastor. Well, most of the time people that say that are well-meaning. They're complimenting you. But we're told here, don't despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you, which will happen very momentarily. Matt, this requires that you find your identity in Christ and not in the approval of men, but it also requires whole life immersion in your calling. That is, the calling that God has given to you ought to become not everything in your life. Christ is your life. Your family is your life first. That's the correct order. Christ, your wife and kids, and then your church. And if you keep that in that order, you will be blessed and you will be protected. Spurgeon says again, my faith rests not in what I am or shall be or feel or know, but in what Christ is and what he has done and what he is doing for me. So Matt, let me conclude this challenge by reminding you of what the Bible says are your pastoral responsibilities. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Matt, equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that you may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. And then finally, what you have heard from the Lord in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others as well. That is my charge to you, and I have great confidence that you will fulfill it. Now I'd like to invite the elders to come up and present a motion. This is where, as a church, you will vote to follow the recommendation of the ordination council, I hope, and ordain Matt.
I'm going to officially call to order a business meeting, and if you're a member of the First Baptist Church of Clearfield, you can vote in this motion. So I'm going to make two motions here to vote on. Thank you. I want to make a motion that the First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania ordains Matthew Donald Brown for the gospel ministry as recommended by the Ordination Council, called and convened on Saturday, April 30th. 2022. I also want a motion that the First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania renews the ministerial license of Matthew Donald Brown to preach and perform other official ministerial duties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Can I get a second to that motion? Tim Durant Second, the motion. If you would please raise your hand if you're a member of church and say, yes, you approve.
Yes, I approve.
You put your hand down. Any nays, you may raise your hand. So moved. Congratulations, Matt. And as per any official business meeting, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn that official business meeting. My wife is that person typically. Any seconds? Okay. All in favor, I assume.
This time we'd like to invite Matt and Kate to come up, and elders and I are going to place our hands on them, as scripture says, and pray a prayer of blessing over them.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Matt and his family here to this church. We know that he takes his charge seriously to be a good shepherd. But like was mentioned earlier, his primary responsibility is to you, our Heavenly Father. And his second responsibility is to his family. And we just pray that you will continue to bless that family. And his third responsibility is to this church flock. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have brought him here to preach and teach us and help us grow. And we just thank you that he is so determined to learn, to continue to preach sound doctrine. And we just pray that as we ordain him, that you would let him feel the peace of the Lord when he's preparing his messages, and when he struggles, let him know that this church is here behind him and will help him in any way we can. We just ask, Lord, that you continue to bless this church family, and particularly Matt and his family. And we just thank you for this time to share in this important event of ordaining this young man. Amen.
Amen.